Hey, welcome in. This is Allison, obviously not Clay. I'm sure y'all are used to this by now on Mondays. I'm taking over the 9 o'clock spot to talk about, as Mike Madison used to say, health news you can use. And I promise I will have my own intro music one day. I would love some suggestions. I asked for that last week and I didn't get any, and I figured y'all would be all over that. So I would love some suggestions on music. I love like Foo Fighters, Linkin Park, some of the modern Christian stuff. So I don't know, throw something at me. I may use it, and I'll sure give you credit. So we are joined in studio today by Miss Tedra Connerly. Tedra is one of my dear friends, and she actually has recently gotten super invested in regenerative agriculture, which is important for people to learn about because this has such a profound impact on the quality of the food that comes from these regenerative farms, which has an incredible impact on your health. And it also is a much more efficient way to utilize the land, really kind of the way that it was always supposed to be done. But in the world of mass production, a lot of current agriculture and farming food industry ways are not done this way. It's not as probably as economically efficient on the front end. But we kind of get it. At the same time, it's costing Americans billions and billions of dollars in healthcare. The quality of our meat matters. I know people who are so set against meat because they have linked it with cancer. And here's the thing, commercially raised meat with a bunch of added hormones and exposures to the vaccines that they get, the stress those animals go through, their lives are just stressful. They end stressful. This impacts the quality of meat. This is going to impact what these meats do to our body and can increase carcinogens in our body. However, we were definitely created to eat meat, to eat from animals. And when meat and agriculture is grown the proper way without the use of all these harmful chemicals and hormones, and the animals are allowed to graze and live a happy, healthy life. This isn't a PETA commercial, but it impacts the quality of the meat and it impacts the quality of the agriculture. Even plants get stressed out. Did y'all know that? Like, it's crazy to think about, but the quality of the living things that we eat impacts our health. And that's why I want to bring this to our attention. And also, so many people just aren't aware of these things. So when you hear someone that advocates just taking out an entire food group altogether, understand that they're doing the best with the information that they've been given, right? We've attached something bad to this food group. But if we dig a little bit deeper and we understand that there are reasons, and it's usually got to do with the way that the food group has been produced, that's what makes it bad, but the actual food itself is not bad. So we can just educate ourselves on how to properly consume things, properly grow things, and then areas around here that are properly growing things and doing things, that's important too, because if you don't know where to get it, then you're still kind of just stuck in between a rock and a hard place. So before we get started with our guest today, I wanted to circle back to some things that I talked about last week. So we were talking about the difference of good fats and bad fats and had a lot of questions on that. And I want to make sure that I relay the message that will be an ongoing conversation. Okay. So I want to continue to talk about that. Y'all, I have to tell you a story real quick. So my precious grandmother was able to listen to last Monday's episode live. And so I get to her house that evening, and on the counter, there are like two bags full of oils that she has cleaned out from her. And the thing is, grandmother has already been eating super healthy. She at 90 years old had, high blood sugar. It was probably elevated for the first time in her life. And a lot of that had to do with stress because my granddaddy was in his last days. But also, you know, she was gravitating a little more towards sweets. So she came to me, I wrote her a program, and she has been probably one of my best clients. She's just determined in her 90s that she still got a lot of life to live. She knows that the Lord is using her in different ways. And so she takes it seriously. And I think that's precious. So she had already been eating pretty well, but she had just had all these things in her cabinet because she does a lot of hosting and cooking. And also there are some oils that she had that tricked her. And that's what we have to be very careful of. A lot of these oils will say, or like mayonnaise or something, will say olive oil, but it's a blend. And they only market what we are going to be drawn to. And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten God. I get home and I look at the ingredients. I'm like, dadgummit. You know, like they tricked me again. So, I take it back if I think about it, but just reading those ingredients labels, even if the outside looks super crunchy granola, like even if the outside looks like that Mother Nature, you know, put it there herself, like just understand that these marketing schemes, it's called greenwashing. I've talked about that on the show before, but they package things, skincare products, food, they package it to look super healthy. And they say all these buzzwords to get our attention. And we take it home and then we don't know we're ingesting these super toxic seed oils. So I went out to my favorite restaurant this weekend and I asked them, hey, can you cook my food a certain way? And they did everything except the Brussels sprouts right. And I could tell that the Brussels sprouts had been flash fried in that oil that I cannot have right now. I'm paying super attention to it because of this anxiety. So I'm going like really Whole Foods right now. And, but they were so sweet to go back and fix it. But you just kind of have to be a quote unquote Karen, you know, when you have things come up in your health and you understand that this is more about your mental, emotional, and physical well-being than it is a bikini body, you'll start to advocate for yourself at a much higher rate. So, okay, I've spent a lot of time babbling, but I wanted to address that. If y'all have any questions that come up, whether it's about the seed oils, the good oils, or about the regenerative agriculture that we're going to be talking with Tedra about, shoot us a text. The text line, the whole story text line, is 601-540-2476. We'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. All right, Tedra, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. Thank you for sitting through my long winded intro. So what I want to do first of all is just have you tell the listeners a little bit how you got into this, because let's be honest, what was it? I mean, 5 years ago, did you even see yourself doing this?
Absolutely not. So how did I get into this? Honestly, God came in our family and in my life and just changed everything dramatically when COVID hit. You know, I was living in this beautiful home in Brandon. My husband was so fantastic to get us this home in town because I didn't want to be in the country. We've had our house down in Braxton, well, since he and I were married, and we had rented it out because I just didn't want the country life. Like, I was so against it. Had a beautiful home. And then COVID hits, and we're all shut down, or shut in, so to speak. And I picked up my Bible. I watched some documentaries. I started reading and really trying to cultivate a relationship with God. And he started putting in my spirit, you need to get back to the farm. Like, you need to go do this. You need to homestead. You need to grow your own food. Because if you remember, when that hit, there was no food on the shelves. You know, shipping stopped. And it just, I don't know, it just started making my wheels turn in my head, you know? And it just kind of went from there. So if you would have asked me 2 years ago if I would be a homesteader, farmer, doing anything like this, I would have laughed at you. If you would have asked me if I would have been homeschooling, I would have laughed at you. Like, it is amazing the change that God can make in a person so quickly, so swiftly, and just change everything that you ever thought that you were going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing about you, I've known you for, let's not do all that math, but probably 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And you definitely have problem solving skills that a lot of people don't have. So your brain definitely works at a capacity of, okay, well, here's a situation. Let's figure this out. You know, even a year ago, I remember you were struggling. I mean, this has not been an easy journey. Mm-hmm. And our message here today is not to say everybody needs to go, you know, grow all their own food and be regenerative farmers. And, you know, but one, we want to just educate you about what even is this. And then also that there are multiple local farms around that do practice these things, and that you have access to their products, their produce. Yeah.
Right. Definitely it's not for everybody. But the thing is, you know, and we can get into this a little bit later, like what big agriculture is doing to our food, and versus like, what does it look like to get it from a local farm? Even if they're not fully regenerative, if they're looking towards that, just the time and the love and the care that goes into a local farm. And it is a little bit more work to actually, you know, you can't just go to the grocery store and get everything in one spot. Like if you really want to do local, it may take a little more time, but there are between every farm around here, you can get anything and everything that you need, from, you know, animals, meats, to vegetables, to, I mean, anything, if you want to start. And one of the things I've loved about this community that I've learned, this homesteading farming community, is they all help each other mm-hmm. so much. Like it's so, I have learned so much because everyone has been so kind and helpful, you know, because I started from like a negative 100.
Yeah.
I had no experience in this.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. I've noticed that along your journey, is that you, go and frequently visit other places because they're, I don't know, y'all. It's funny. We joke with Tedra every time I talk to her. She's like, yeah, I'm on my way home. I have a cow in the back, or I have two ducks and a sheep in the back seat, you know, or some kind of cool plant. But they do, or she's delivering something like this to, you know, they really do work together. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And it's important. It's so important. If this theme keeps coming up, is that like, we've got to get out of this mindset that we're in competition with everybody and realize that we need everybody else. And like, let's all do it together. Okay. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Tedra break down what this regenerative agriculture looks like and what are some of the benefits for us as consumers. We'll be back in just a second. All right. Welcome back. I always let that sneak up on me. All right. So we are continuing our chat with Tedra Connerly. You know, I was thinking about, I just posted a picture of us in the studio and reminded everybody to tune in. And I was thinking about, like, you're talking about the way that God works in our lives. Could you imagine? I mean, Tedra and I met bartending years and years ago at Bonefish. We actually opened it. And our lives were so different, and the Lord has really brought us full circle. But did you ever think we'd be on the radio together talking about God
and
farming?
Absolutely not.
So mamas and daddies out there, if you have our grandmothers and granddaddies, or brothers, sisters, friends, mothers, wives, you know, all of it. If you have those people out there that you just think, are they ever going to get it together, or that you're, you know, worried about, just keep praying, because Tedra and I are two walking examples. We are living proof of God's powerful work and answered prayers. So I can thank my mom and my grandmother and my host of strong women in my family for always supporting me and praying for me. And so, yeah, just don't give up. Keep praying. And who knows, maybe one day they'll be on the radio talking about farming and God.
That's right.
So, amen. Okay. So, Tell us a little bit about regenerative agriculture and what that looks like, what that means to just the typical consumer and that sort of thing.
Okay, so regenerative agriculture basically is a farming practice that will increase the biodiversity in soil, organic matter. In conventional agriculture, the soil is overworked. It is tilled heavily. It is, you know, they focus on growing one thing in a mass amount, and then they scrape it all, and then they'll usually grow in something else. And they have to put fertilizers and all these chemicals in the soil to make the soil be able to grow anything again. And it wreaks havoc on the quality. Anything that tries to grow from it, or any animal that's trying to graze on it. There's three types of regenerative agriculture I want to talk about today. It's just kind of basic, but you know, essentially that's what there's a saying, to kind of put it in perspective, that conventional ag seeks to produce as many of one thing as possible, and regenerative seeks to create as many relationships between things as possible. So
yeah, that's important. So a lot of my clients, when we start them on their restoration journeys to health, it often involves supplements. And a lot of these supplements we're not able to get from our food anymore, because just like you said, the soil is so depleted of any and all nutrients that we're actually having to add in these artificial fertilizers or chemicals to just so that it can grow something again. It's not had the opportunity to regenerate itself. And the Lord made this, you know, ground in such a way that it will regenerate all the nutrients, all the support that it needs to regrow things in their due time. And when they're properly taken care of and allowed to do that. But that's what she's talking about with conventional agriculture. It's like, okay, we got to do it again. It's this mass production. And so all of the benefits from eating a bunch of vegetables is kind of can be wiped away. And then the food that our animals eat, that we then eat, this matters. We are what our food eats.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, one of the things that you talk about pretty regularly is, you know, taking a rest, and how we are created to have a rest, to have a Sabbath, to take a day out of the week. The Bible says the seventh day. Well, it also says the seventh year to let the land rest. And that never happens in big ag. I mean, and there's a reason that the land needs to rest. And so it actually, doing like a rotational type grazing situation, I'll talk about that in a minute a little bit more, allows a rest every month, every 3 months, whatever your schedule is for whatever livestock you have on it. So
will you, real quick, you mentioned biodiversity in the soil. Will you just break that down?
The root system, the worms, there are...
it's an ecosystem.
Yes, it's there's organisms that actually help bring water to root systems that actually break up the soil, like worms. So that's what I'm talking about, is just the natural ecosystem that's in our dirt, in this soil. One of the things that I've learned, because I'm still very new to this, I still am learning so much. And you're right, a year ago, I was losing my mind, because, I mean, I started a year ago, you know, and everything was so overwhelming, and I knew nothing. And but one of the things that I've learned from other farmers that have been doing this a long time is it starts with the soil. No matter if you're growing plants or if you're growing animals, like, it starts with the quality of your dirt, the quality of your grass, and that's where you have to kind of begin. And so that's what regenerative farming really, really supports, you know, is starting with the soil.
That's so beautiful, because it's such a good metaphor for life too. Like, yes. You know, if you don't have good soil, like, what I was thinking about that this morning, I'm working on just some things with my fitness and health. And a couple of years ago, when I had attempted to do what I'm about to do, I was going through a little bit of a just a seasonal depression and just some things that the Lord was working on me with. But I was trying to fix the inside from the outside, mm-hmm. and that was not going to work. And God put that on me. And so I had to invest in nurturing my soil. So, yes.
And it's amazing again, too, how fast God can work in healing us, you know, if that's what we're the journey that we're on. And then the earth as well, because we just leveled all of our land to make pasture land. There was trees on it and all this. And this time last year, it was a wreck. It was just everything, no grass and big piles of sticks. And I look out there now and it's green. Now, we did plant seed and we did help it, but it just blows my mind at how quickly God heals the land, and he can heal us too.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. So just to kind of quickly summarize what this looks like, what this process looks like, and then we'll have you expound upon that on the other side of this break. But so let's just say this is kind of my like very vague understanding, and then I'm going to let Tedra really dive into this on the other side of the break. But let's just say you have 4 patches of land, right? And so for a while, you'll have, let's break it up into quarters, okay? You got 4 patches, equal patches of land. And for a while, we're going to let that bottom right square just do nothing. There are going to be no animals on it. It's just going to be rebuilding all the nutrients in the soil and resting, if you will. And then we may have like cows on one patch. I don't know what do you rotate the animals, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so give us like a brief summary of what this looks like, and then we'll really dive in deep.
So for the grazing, the regenerative grazing, you will, if just to make it simple, you've got yourself 4 quadrants, you know, and you for, and it depends on the size of the animal. If you have sheep, it'd be different. If you have cows, let's just say cows, and you let them graze in this quadrant for a month. Then you move it over to the next quadrant, shut it off where nothing is happening there, and let them graze in the next quadrant. And what they do is not only are they grazing and pooping on this, they're stomping it, they're breaking it up. And when they move to another one and let that spot that they were in rest for a month or 3 months, whatever it is that you're doing, the earthworms come up. It just it gives the grass a chance to grow. Like there's a grass starts at nothing and then it grows, and it's kind of like an upward little, like an S, the way that it grows. And that middle part is where it's where the best for them to eat it. But if they're constantly chomping at it and they're on that same land all the time and getting it down to nubs, it never has a chance to actually get to the best part that's good for their rumen, for their gut, you know? Mm-hmm. And so essentially that's what the grazing looks like.
So would you just have one, let's say, herd of cows, is that right? Mm-hmm. I'll mess it up. One herd of cows that occupies the 4 quadrants. So essentially 3 of the 4 quadrants are resting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was trying to put the whole farm on different mm-hmm. quadrants. Like I said, this
and
is.
And you do break them up like that, but typically you want to, you know, I mean, I guess if you have 4 quadrants, you could do 2 and 2. But anyway, just for like sake of simplicity to understand, like, okay,
what's going on?
Yeah.
And so just to differentiate real quick, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I just feel like it's so important that we're understanding that you know, our commercially raised food, it's never getting this opportunity to have this rest period. And then also there's a huge difference in the quality of products that are being used. You know, you've got pesticides, you've got hormones to speed up the growth process of mm-hmm. animals and vegetables fruit, you know, like, mm-hmm. so it's not just to animals. So in the more conventionally raised agriculture versus the regenerative farming, they're super clean and they're really just allowing nature to take its course. Mm-hmm. And they are just kind of guiding the flock and making sure that they stay safe and healthy. So we'll get into that on the other side of the break. Y'all stay tuned. Okay, got to turn my mic on too. Welcome back. Thank y'all for coming along on this ride. I'm still new. Tedra and I were preparing for this show, and she wanted it. She felt it was very important that people understand that you know, she just dove into this head first, but she is by no means like the say all end all be all expert. And I said, that's exactly how I am with my show. Like I was given this opportunity and I still mess the board up sometimes. So, but I will say that I'm just so impressed by not only how much you've learned over the past year and a half, 2 years, but how much you've done. I think that analysis paralysis hits so much. Like how many people thought the same thoughts that you did, especially when COVID hit? And then, but you just started getting out there. One of my favorite phrases is taking messy action. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be perfect. And the same goes with your health journey, y'all. Like you're not going to find all the regenerative ag farms. You're not going to find, you know, you're going to be like me and you're going to get tricked by labels and get home and realize the ingredients aren't clean. It's okay, because still when you look up in a year from now, you're going to be blown away by the change in your life, your joy, your body, your family. So it's just about putting one foot in front of the other and doing the next best thing. So Tedra, I want to make sure that the listeners really get a lot out of this. So I want you to talk a little bit about the no-till form of this, but first tell us as consumers and even for the farmers, like what's the benefit? Like why do we care about this?
Right. Well, I mean, first off, I'm not going to say this is listed in most important to least important order, because they're all equally important. So I'm just going to kind of just name them off. One is the health of your animals. Okay. So as a farmer, I care about each and every animal on my farm. And so providing them with the best grazing opportunity helps them. And I feel like that's my stewardship, and I'm supposed to do that. Then as far as nutrients, we've talked about this in the food, whether it's an animal or a plant. I know there's studies that's been done about the actual nutritional value in organic versus non-organic. And then if you were to bring in a farm that has been like Mr. Ben Simmons at Nature's Gourmet, he's like regenerative farming. He would be the expert, I would think. But it's, you know, you take his plant, it's going to have a different nutritional value. And there's been studies done on that. Don't let me quote any of them, but, you know, so obviously you're getting more for your money.
Yeah.
You know, and then just supporting a local economy.
Yeah.
You know, that helps the farmer.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I'm so glad you brought that point up, getting more for your money, because while on the front end, it may feel like it costs a little bit more to buy from your local farmers. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. It may cost more time. But you are getting more nutritional value. I don't even know, like I was going to say a million times more, because that's me being, you know, exaggerating, but really so much of our nutritional value is completely void in the vegetables that we find at grocery stores and the fruit. I had this conversation recently. You can go to a different country and eat their fresh fruit and vegetable stuff off their land, and it's like the best thing you've ever had. And the taste is better, but the nutritional value, which is so important, which is going to save you money in healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
It's such an important investment, and you're getting so much more bang for your buck. So where can you, and we'll put this in the show notes. I'm going to upload this as always to the Landing Spot podcast. And I'll release that link as soon as it uploads. And I will put all of the information that Tedra is about to give us in the show notes, but let us in on some local farms that participate in this and how we can support them and what the products they offer are.
Okay. You know, I had mentioned earlier that very few local farms are going to have everything like
right.
a grocery store, you know, but between several different ones, you're going to find everything that you could possibly need. So one farm is the Ahava Family Farm. It's in Yazoo. Julie and Dennis are the owners of this farm and their children, because they are just as active in participating and doing everything as the parents. They, you know, do rotational grazing practices with chickens. She sells eggs, I know, and she's going to start offering classes on how to do certain things. And anyways, just a lot to offer.
Can you spell the name of that farm?
A-H-A-V-A.
Okay.
Ahava. And then we've got, I mentioned Nature's Gourmet. He's down in Petal, and that's Mr. Ben Simmons. And then Two Dog Farm, that's in Flora. They have what's called a community-supported agriculture program. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Don't they deliver? Can't you order and they'll deliver?
I'm not sure, but I know they've got a beautiful website. It's very easy to go through.
That's Two Dog Farm?
Two Dog Farm.
Love the name. And I think that's a friend of my brother's. I do believe that they, at one time, they had maybe like a subscription box.
Yeah, that's what this is, the CSA.
Yeah. Yeah, super cool. Y'all check that out too.
Definitely. And then y'all mentioned Stonington on, you know, Clay's radio show a lot. And
this is one of the reasons we love Stonington Farms. They do it right.
Yes.
He's a surgeon.
Yes.
The guy that owns that.
I've recently got my first order from them, and I'm very pleased. I've got another one coming next month. But anyway, those are just a few.
What about yours?
Oh, well, and mine, yes. Ancient Paths Homestead. And mainly what I really have found a passion in doing is educating. I have a lot of kids that come down, people that bring their children down to learn how to milk a cow, to have hands-on with that, to see what free-ranging chickens look like, come and play with all my many, many animals. And we have eggs, and we're starting to grow things, too. But, you know, so, and it's, you know, you were mentioning about the messy action. Like, I can thank my husband so much for kind of supporting me in all my messy action, because he does. And if it hadn't have been for him encouraging and supporting all these crazy ideas and being on board with it, it would have never happened.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear that so often.
Ugh,
I love that. Yes. Charles is the best. Her husband really has been supportive, and he works really hard so that Tedra can have the latest lamb. I'm just kidding. Tedra works really hard too. Like, she now has these beautiful sculpted arms and shoulders and bruises all over her because she's like herding livestock all the time. I'm like, you are definitely one of my sheroes.
Ditto.
So, I think it's so important to learn, like, what's the difference between conventional milk, skim milk, whole milk, A2 milk. You know, there are lots of weird things, laws and such. So, you have to, I will always say this to our listeners, you have to be your own advocate. You have to do your own research, you know, and looking into the different types of cows that are used in conventional dairy versus the opposite, and what these effects are on our bodies. You know, just do your own research. It's very, very interesting. Again, we have food that has the power to heal, and then we have products that have the power to kill us. So it's just same with those oils, you know, oils that heal, oils that kill, that I was talking about last week. Same with so many of our food products. And just because it's edible and won't kill you instantaneously doesn't mean it's not working against your cellular health. And so there are a lot of food-like products that are definitely killing you. And so just educating yourself on these things, it's so, so important, because we are at a time and age where we've just been convinced that, you know, the way of health is this dependency on physicians and pharmaceutical grade interventions. And I think that the way of health is going against that grain, not relying on those and educating yourself on what actually serves the body, the brain. It's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that enough. All right, Tedra, what's your favorite thing to do on your farm?
When I go out first thing in the morning to watch my insane chickens. and it's really hard for me to answer that because I'm obsessed with
all of it.
I am. But there is something that if I'm stressed, am I in a bad mood or whatever, if I go out there and see these crazy things, well, like, 'cause they'll run up to, and they're just hilarious, you know?
I love that.
So
Hey, speaking of chickens, I saw a post this weekend. And it was so informative. I'll try to find it and share it. But so we're talking about the marketing schemes. So when we're looking at poultry and eggs, okay, so you have just regular conventional. Then you have what's called cage-free. Mm-hmm. Then there is
pasture-raised.
Pasture-raised and free-range. Yeah. Will you break down what that actually means real quick? So let's start with the quote-unquote cage-free.
Okay, so this is just my basic understanding of it. Cage-free means that they are not in a, like, 4x4 cage, right, is my understanding.
But
that doesn't mean that they're actually out aside, you know, roaming around in the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
It could still be in a very housing.
Yeah. Tight quarters. They're right. All, like, stacked on top of
they
each
don't
other.
Have
I've seen
to,
pictures.
Right. They don't have to tell you how big this cage-free area is, you mm-hmm. know. So it can be very deceiving. I think that's part of that greenwashing stuff we were talking mm-hmm. about, right?
Yep.
And so then...
Same thing for free range, essentially,
yes,
right?
Yes, same thing for free range. Doesn't mean that they even see any sunlight. Pasture raised, from what I understand, if you're going to buy from the grocery store and not get from someone local, that's probably the one you want to go for, because from what I understand, they actually do get some sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know, I've had my chickens, when I first started, I had six, and a friend of mine gave them to me. She does some farming too, but she just had a baby and she's a little overwhelmed. So I'm not going to mention her name, but you know who you are. She gave me my first chickens ever, and I didn't have it set up where they could free range. So I had a little run for them. And the difference between my eggs then and what I have now from all of them free are just completely different.
So now they're totally free range.
Yes, there's now they're totally free range. My egg yolks are so dark, and Ahava Farms, she's got darker yolks than I do.
Yeah.
It's like, who's got the darkest yolks? You know?
That's
you know,
cool.
You've changed over to a different time of your life whenever that's what you're
right,
like
right.
really focused on. But anyway, just knowing that they have a diverse diet, and it shows in the eggs.
That's so cool. Okay, we got to take one more break. And when we come back, we're going to ask Clay Says Land the Plane. And you can find out exactly where you can find Tedra. We'll be back. Y'all stay tuned. Welcome back. As always, I'm so sad that it goes by so fast. One day, y'all, I'm going to have more airtime. That may be a blessing or a curse. Depends on who likes listening to me and who's ready for the next person. But, all right, we got about a minute and a half left. So, Tedra, I want you to tell people how they can find you. And are you offering any sort of like educational, any sort of classes anytime soon? Or is that kind of like a book, like people can just book as they want to?
They could just book as they want to. You know, call me, ask, you know, whatever you want to do. I don't have anything quite scheduled yet, but that is something that I would like to see how it works out organically and then maybe get to something more scheduled, because it's just... You know, like I said, I'm still so new at this.
Learning
and
growing.
Whoever wants to hear me talk, kind of like you.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that you and Julie with Ahava Farms have such a teacher's heart in this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what it's all about. You learn as you do, and then you share with others. And so that's beautiful. All right. So how can people find you?
Okay. So we have a Facebook, which is Ancient Paths Homestead. And then I have a website, which is ancientpathshomestead.org. My phone number that you can reach us is 601-339-0153, or you can email me at jeremiah616homestead@gmail.com.
Perfect. And at any of these numbers, y'all leave a message if somebody doesn't answer, because
please do, yeah.
We've got a bazillion spam calls a day. And so like if you need us, just leave us a little message so we know to call you back, or shoot a text up front. Hey, this is me. It's not somebody calling about your car warranty, because I want to make sure Tedra gets your call. All right. And if y'all are interested in hormone or metabolic health as a woman, you can reach me at 601-540-2476. Text me or find me online. Y'all have a great week. We'll be back next week.